And welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Chris Gruner with American Exposé, and it's just ironic to see how your land is being maneuvered and manipulated. Ultimately, we'll be in these island land communities where we will not be able to live or leave comfortably. And this is to be done in the next 20 years. It's to be done. We'll be in island populations. Will it be like the animals looking at us in the cages? And that is the scenario. Let's take a couple of phone calls. Let's take Fred. Hello, Fred. How are you today?
Hello. I don't think you're exaggerating when you say that these plans are in the works for movement of population, taking away of rights to live on the land, taking away the rights to grow your own food, grow healthy food, make sure that your water is healthy. All of these things are too threatening to the people that want to keep you dependent.
Yeah. It's a major game going on that's being played on us, and we aren't paying attention.
Chris, do you want to talk? I can certainly talk about the use of these stakeholders in Agenda 21. I could talk about the UN, and it's just basically an illegitimate organization that it was never agreed to by the people of the world, and now the people of the world have overseers that they did not elect, and they did not delegate their God-given, did not delegate any powers to them, and they did not agree to have any of their God-given rights taken away from them. You cannot take a parliament or a Congress or a president of your country and direct them to give away your rights to something else or somebody else. That's not legitimate.
So, Fred, you're pretty tuned into stakeholders?
Yeah. I want to mention that the process, I think there's an Agenda 21 political process that is just shouldering its way into our traditional process of no matter what you say at a meeting and no matter how you vote, there's going to be a friend of the powerful, an NGO that will interpose itself and make sure that something is passed because the powerful want it passed.
Mm-hmm.
See how that works? In other words, if I have an argument with you and it's a stalemate, there's this third party that basically weighs in on the side against the people. That's how it works. It's a political maneuver. It's a political process, and we haven't seen that before.
Are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm on a pay phone.
Oh, okay. That's what.
Can you hear me good?
Well, it's not as good as it could have been
okay, or
could be, but...
Do you agree, though, that is something that's new, that has not been seen before?
Yeah, absolutely. There's probably no way you can get on a regular phone, I'm sure, at this point, is there?
I tried to, but I couldn't, so I will. But
okay.
I will also talk about this SCL.
Okay, look, Fred, stay with us, and we'll take a couple more calls and keep you with us and continue on the other side, okay?
Bye.
We'll be right back, listeners. Stay here. Okay, listeners, welcome back. The Brundtland Commission merged socialism with capitalism. It was entitled Our Common Future in 1987. What it did was socialist concern for development, capitalist concern for development. What did they have out of that? And what came out of that? Sustainable development. Globalization equals one world and no borders. There is the crux of the situation, according to Joan Vion and her United Nations Global Straitjacket. It's a handbook, it's a Bible for understanding the big picture in place today in America, and it complements our global neighborhood from the United Nations. The report of the Commission on Global Governance. Fred, you know, it would be good to talk to you off the air and set up a time when we can be together, because we need to get you on a better phone.
Well, if you want to, I'll leave my number with the producer.
Please.
But I just, would you just jot down these three letters just to keep you, just as a memory aid, SCL.CC.
Okay.
Because this is something that just blew me away when I found out it about 2 weeks ago, and I've been trying to get people to cover this heavily and soon. So it basically has to do with the big change in communications where you have a way to override the shortwave stations and just basically take control away from you, which I have never seen before, not so blatantly, not put out there. So I wanted to talk to you about it. And,
okay.
All right.
Leave your phone number, and I'll take the phone number down and call you.
Okay.
Okay, and when's a good time to phone you?
This evening.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Fred.
Thanks.
I appreciate your participation and concern. Let's go to TJ in Minnesota. Hello, TJ.
Chris, my schedule overwhelms me today, but I had a quick question. This H.R. 3824, is that an enacted bill or a pending bill, or what's the status of that?
Apparently it's pending.
Okay.
It's pending, and there's many sponsors and co-sponsors. It needs more research, that's for sure.
Yeah, can that be found on that takingliberty.us website or your website?
No, you can find it on AmLand, AmLand.us.
Okay.
That would be the place to find it.
AmLand.us.
There you go.
Okay, I got to rush. Thanks much.
Thank you, TJ. Yes, amland.us, that's the American Land Foundation, another group to be working with, another group trying to expose the deception that we live today, and it's growing. The movement is growing. To stop the UN system, the movement is growing. The New World Order, when you hear the word New World Order, it's the UN system. Jeff in Mexico. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Chris.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a comment about land first. I have 2 acres and mobile home on it, completely paid off. And if Roger in Massachusetts, John in Florida, or Jeff in Massachusetts, or anyone else thinks I haven't earned it, I'll gladly debate them about it.
Well, I'm sure nobody's concerned about whether you own it or not. The concern is, what's going to happen in the future to your land, and will you be able to afford to pay your property taxes? Just like, will I be able to afford to pay my property taxes in the future?
Mine are pretty low, fortunately.
Good.
But anyway, I heard Jeff in Massachusetts on that Michael Savage show. He called in and told you about that, too.
Uh-huh.
I think Savage backs up the insurance fraud Jews because he thinks that the planes crashing into the Twin Towers could have made them, you know, go down like that without explosives concomitantly.
The whole 9/11 scenario doesn't wash with me. The 9/11 Commission report is bogus, and I believe, as I believed the very first day it happened, that the buildings were imploded. Building number 7 was imploded. There wasn't an airliner that hit the Pentagon. No wreckage to speak of. The whole 9/11 scenario was a bogus Pearl Harbor act.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever anybody thinks, they're not thinking properly if they believe the 9/11 Commission report, if they believe the lying and the lies that they're hearing about the people that actually took the planes and crashed them into those buildings. They didn't have talent and ability to do that. They didn't have the ability to do that, those suspected Middle Eastern terrorists, Al-Qaeda terrorists. They didn't have the ability to fly an airliner into a building like that. So the 9/11 scenario is an embarrassment to the federal government and their stories that they give. So
well, I think Jeff in Massachusetts is probably a pretty nice guy, but he's conservative. He doesn't seem to care about the working class. He's always using emotional anti-communist, which is anti-working class rhetoric. You know, Karl Marx wanted to lower the work week hours. To me, this is progressive. He wanted to lower the norm for the work week hours.
Well, at this stage, everybody's going to be lowering their work hours because there's not going to be hardly any jobs in America. And that's what's going on right now.
Well, so. Like Rumsfeld is in China.
He's in South Korea now.
Well, you know, he's saying, and to me, he's saying, here, to their 12-hour workday, you know, $100 a week labor norm for their workers there, which is totally non-socialist. The capitalists want large unemployed labor pool to keep workers like chicken of losing their jobs, chickens pecking each other over the chicken feed crumbs thrown out to them by the fat cat capitalists and shareholders that Jeff in Massachusetts seems to brown nose towards so much.
Well,
but he can call in and say some things too, you know.
I appreciate your thoughts, Jeff. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Okay. We're not here to beat up on anyone, and I don't suggest that is a logical thing to do. When the airtime is so valuable, listeners, and the information is so vital, let's go to Barney in Maryland. Hello, Barney.
Yeah, Chris. You faded out on me entirely a while back, but I wanted to speak to you about this land agricultural easement.
Okay.
The way it looks to me, it's creating a situation like it created when... Back when the man used to be able to go to work and support his family. And then eventually they had a regular pecking order in the neighborhood. And maybe the woman across the street, for some reason or another, she decides she wants to go to work. So she goes out and gets a job. And first thing you know, another woman gets a job. And first thing you know... In order to buy a new car, another woman got a job, and first thing you know, the original people that were making out good with just a man working, his wife had to go out and get a job. So first thing you know, they're all out working, both people in the family are working, and they're back to the same original living standard.
Yeah, it's a scam, isn't it?
Yeah, and the same way with this here easement deal. When my land goes into easement, your taxes go up.
Right.
And then the fact that your taxes have been because of your taxes have been lowered. This continues until the taxes are being and living standards are the same as before, and the easements were made, and the big difference is that the government owns all the land.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I wasn't too clear on that, but...
Yeah, well, that's basically what's going to happen here.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Barney. The scenario is well laid out in our global neighborhood. It's collectivism. Collectivism and totalitarianism to take what we have that you'll never get back. And that's why it's so vital at this point in time to be involved in this situation that we're living today. We are basically being maneuvered to accept things that we wouldn't normally accept. And it's vital that we understand how this is being engineered. Vital. From the Global Neighborhood book, they say, the development of global governance is part of the evolution of human efforts to organize life on the planet. And that process will always be going on. Our work is no more than a transit stop on that journey. We do not presume to offer a blueprint for all time, but we are convinced that it is time for the world to move on from the designs evolved over the centuries and given new form in the establishment of the United Nations nearly 50 years ago. We are in a time that demands freshness and innovation in global governance, listeners. As this report makes clear, global governance is not global government. That's because, listeners, it's non-governmental organizations working with corporations and governments, NGOs. No misunderstanding should arise from the similarity of the terms, they say. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. Much to do, listeners. Much to research on your own as well. Stay here. Welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. The beat goes on. The situation is quite obvious to me. A book written in the year 2000 entitled Masters of Seduction by Jerry Lynn Ball, Beguiling Americans into Slavery and Self-Destruction. Masters of Seduction is the title of the book. In Chapter 5, entitled Recreating America in the Image of Russia, just about four paragraphs you need to hear. Bill Clinton, Al Gore, and their communist globalist comrades have been striving to infuse the Marxist-Leninist ideology into every social and cultural era of the United States. In the name of saving the environment, protecting the children, and so forth, they are moving full tilt ahead to implement the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. William Grigg refers back to Hillary Clinton's commencement address given during the 60s. Quote, young Hillary sought to create not just new human institutions, but new human beings. We're not interested in social reconstruction, it's human reconstruction, she says. When she reflected on this and other earlier ideas in a more recent speech, she said, and here's what she says, I am glad I felt like that when I was 21. I've always tried to keep those feelings with me. I want to be idealistic, end quote. Both Clintons stressed the communist socialist concepts of connectedness and unity, and this is according to William Grigg. During the 20s and 30s, Marxist-Leninist communists in the Soviet Union held that a systematic preparation of the new man, the builders of communism, was imperative. In his 1997 State of the Union address, Bill Clinton declared, quote, I am before you tonight with a challenge and a plan of action to meet that challenge to prepare our people for the bold new world of the 21st century, end quote. So today's American communist leaders are preparing the new men and women for the brave new world of the 21st century, training every individual American to wipe himself out of existence and relinquish his individual rights. The new man, a true communist, is learning to stifle all personal aspects of himself and merge himself into the community, living to serve its welfare. And there's much more to this, but that gives you the basic of where we are today. During the Clinton administration, he's not going away. I'm going to work on getting Larry Nichols on, and we'll work on that. And thanks to Mr. Wisdom for that direction. But here we see from Livestock Weekly News dated August 25th, landowners warned to be wary of any conservation easement by Colleen Schreiber. Out of Austin, Texas, different opinions are what make the world interesting. So it said. There are certainly different opinions regarding such matters as conservation easements. One of the topics discussed at the Southwest Landowner Conference here earlier this summer. Fred Kelly Grant, a property rights attorney, and he consulted to stewards of the range, warned participating landowners to be wary of conservation easements. Quote, the Nature Conservancy, the Wildlife Federation, and all of the non-governmental agencies have understood property rights a lot longer than many of us, end quote, Grant told listeners. Quote, and they understood what they had to do to get around the Fifth Amendment and to get around due process. One of the ways is through conservation easements. In short, conservation easements have become the tool of choice for nonprofits, even the government, to gain control over property, end quote. In legal terms, a conservation easement may be defined as, quote, the right of use over the property of another, end quote. An easement, he pointed out, creates a dominant estate and a servient estate. Quote, if you're the property owner and sign a conservation easement, you have just committed yourself to serving the dominant interest of whatever organization brought that interest, end quote, Grant insisted. Conservation easements, along with transfer of development rights and smart growth, are tools, Grant reiterated, that allow the government to condemn one's property and pay less than the fair market value, the amount it would have to pay if the land were acquired through the eminent domain process. An example of this occurred with a recent purchase in Idaho by the Nature Conservancy. Quote, they purchased a ranch for $480,000, and 2 months later they sold a conservation easement to the government for $460,000. Then they traded the land to the government in exchange for federal land in the foothills of Boise, some of the most highly valued land in southern Idaho, except for Sun Valley, and then later sold it for more than $1 million, end quote. That $1 million, he told listeners, was spent to buy scenic easements from anti-grazing activists such as John Marvell. Grant talked about the various problems he sees with conservation easements. One big problem, he said, is third-party enforcement. Anyone who buys a conservation easement now, in most states, has to be a nonprofit organization or the government. The beat goes on, listeners. Time to get active. AmericanExpose.com is the source of all sorts of directions to get active. Stay with us. Welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. Much going on the website, AmericanExpose.com. Here we see, out of Cancun, Mexico, a monstrous Hurricane Wilma barreled toward Mexico and the storm-weary U.S. coast, forcing tens of thousands to flee coastlines after it mushroomed into the most powerful storm ever recorded in the Atlantic. Is that not amazing, listeners? The U.S. National Hurricane Center, the NHC, said Thursday the extremely dangerous behemoth had weakened slightly to a Category 4 hurricane, packing winds of 240 kilometers or 150 miles per hour. As it continued to swirl towards Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula, which is popular among European and U.S. tourists. However, the NHC, the National Hurricane Center, said Wilma, quote, could regain Category 5 intensity, end quote, pushing the wind speeds closer to 280 kilometers per hour. Oh, man. Quote, the storm is very powerful and very threatening, end quote, said Mexican President Vicente Fox, adding that authorities were prepared for its impact. Cuba started to evacuate 235,000 people, while tens of thousands of tourists were ordered out of Cancun, Mexico, and the Florida Keys island chain. Mexican authorities ordered the evacuation of more than 33,000 tourists vacationing in two islands of Cancun, Isle Majares and Holbox, and from the Punta Allen Laguna south of there. Another 70,000 in Cancun itself were advised to leave the area. So here we have another major hurricane. And right now, according to MSNBC, the gusts or the winds are 150 miles per hour right now. And so it's moving northwest at 6 miles per hour, according to MSNBC. So once again, here we are with these situations and scenarios about weather modification, environmental modification, implementation of directions to reduce the population. Can't be blamed on anyone. We're being maneuvered into accepting things that are acts of God, but are they really? Here we see job losses from hurricanes up to 478,000, according to the Associated Press. And then we see still no plan for housing Katrina evacuees. And yet, where did those 1 million people that were publicized to have left, where did they go? What a thought. Where did they go? No accounting. Let's take another phone call. Let's take Kate. Welcome to the broadcast, Kate.
Hi, Chris.
Yes.
I was hearing you read something. I caught the tail end of it. You had stated, or you were reading a piece about the need for global governance.
Oh.
And where was that source from?
This is actually the book entitled Our Global Neighborhood. It's a report of the Commission on Global Governance from the United Nations system.
Okay.
And I can give you an ISBN number to order it from the UN publication.
Well, the comment I was wanting to make, I went on Tuesday night here in Tulsa. They were having the United Nations Association of Eastern Oklahoma.
Oh, really?
Yes, celebrating UN Day, which I believe is the 24th.
The 60th anniversary.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And their guest speaker was a Jillian Sorensen.
Mm-hmm.
And Jillian Sorensen, she's very, very interesting, and I'm hoping our local newspaper, conservative paper, will print something on it because she's quite the bigwig. She was or served from 97 to 2003 as Assistant Secretary General for External Relations, appointed by Secretary General Kofi Annan.
Uh-huh.
And was responsible for outreach in whatever they call civil society, which included non-government organizations and such.
Uh-huh.
She's got quite an extensive background, and I believe she's here on going to several states, actually going all across the United States for damage control. But she made a very interesting comment that there is a lot of misinformation, especially in the U.S., floating around concerning the United Nations, that misinformation being that the United Nations is looking for global governance.
Oh, really?
Yes. And now, she said this to an entire group of 64 to 72 members of the United Nations Association of Eastern Oklahoma, who are obviously for the UN, but she bold-faced lied that that's not what they're looking for. And, of course, she mentioned that the biggest threat of misinformation from the United States is, of course, coming from the Internet. She didn't offer any solutions, which we know what that is. They're looking to control the Internet.
Yes.
But she also made comment that we have a rich history with the United Nations and that if our forefathers were here today, that they would have openly embraced the concepts given in the Earth Charter through the United Nations and would have tried to work through the United Nations would they have been here today. So one of my good friends who went to this dinner with me raised her hand and asked her for the documentation on where she found that the forefathers would have embraced such a thing. And, of course, the president of the UN Association of Eastern Oklahoma quickly closed the meeting down. That was the end of all questions.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did you feel uncomfortable at the presence of this presentation?
Oh, it was very uncomfortable. You walk in to the front of this country club where they were holding the meeting, which was a fundraiser, and unfortunately I paid to go to it, but I wanted to hear what was going on in our neighborhood.
Yes.
And you walk in, and you don't see an American flag when you walk in. You see big posters of the UN flag. When you went into the dinner, there was side by side the UN flag and the American flag.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on all their literature of the UNAEO, you see the seal of the United Nations Association, USA, and then you see the seal of our nation side by side, one not being any larger than the other. They were identical, of course, the first being the UN symbol. Anyway, it was very interesting. These people are absolutely backwards.
Now, Kate, who is this speaker that you were talking about?
Her name is Jillian Sorensen, and she was not only assistant secretary to Kofi Annan, but she was also assistant secretary to, let me see if I can pronounce his name, Boutros-Ghali, is that correct?
Yeah, Boutros-Ghali, right.
Yes. She was also his assistant as well. So she is a part of the inner circle. And I believe here on damage control, because of all the angry people in the U.S. against the U.N. at this time.
Wouldn't it be interesting to bring her on as an interview?
It would be. It would be.
I wonder how we can arrange that.
I went up afterwards. I had a question for her myself, and I waited till everybody started to scatter a little bit, and I went up to Ms. Sorensen, and I told her, I said, you know, I'm very new at this. This is my first function, and I had been reading a little bit about the Organization of American States, and I said, I was just curious, all this tension that you talked about between the U.S. and the U.N., which had never been before, at least for as long as it is now, I said, where do you see the OAS in playing a role to help buffer those tensions? And towards the end of our conversation, she said most definitely she thought the OAS played a huge role and that eventually it was a high probability that the OAS would be the central legislative body similar to what we see in Brussels for the EU.
Okay, so as we're being regionalized into a conglomeration of Mexico, Canada, and the U.S., the Organization of American States will be the paramount body to control?
That is according to Jillian Sorensen when I asked her the question.
Uh-huh. Now, as far as this UN Association of Eastern Oklahoma, is there anyone that we can try to get on the air to talk about this situation with the UN, I wonder?
Well, unfortunately, I don't know of anybody else who's even gone to any of these other than myself and a couple of friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting thing is Roger Randall, who was the mayor back in the 80s of Tulsa, mm-hmm. is the past president and still works very heavily with the United Nations Association of Eastern Oklahoma. And after introducing Ms. Sorensen, she turned from the podium and she looked at Roger Randall, and she said, "Thank you, Herr Randall."
Really?
Yes.
My goodness.
Anyway, it was a very interesting evening. We had a lot of students there from various schools that are part of the UN Model Program.
And what was the impetus to make you go to this meeting?
I wanted to know what was going on. I've been reading these things. You had interviewed me before on your program, and I've just trying to self-educate myself.
Your Operation Information?
Yes.
Operation Information?
Yes. And we're trying as best as possible with as small a group as we are to hit everything that is causing impacts within our own city as far as the creation of Agenda 21 here that's still very quiet. I mean, other than us, nobody else has covered Tulsa's Agenda 21. Also, this same day, October 18th, at this dinner, our mayor served, well, he wasn't there to serve it personally. Our city auditor served a proclamation from our mayor making October 18th UN Day in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hmm. Isn't this amazing how we have such a history of the UN and people are accepting it so well?
Well, I think it's not that they're accepting it. They're absolutely oblivious that it's even taking place. Nobody even knows that UN Day has been proclaimed in Tulsa for October 18th. Nobody except for the 64 to 70-plus people that attended that meeting last night, or on Tuesday night. Nobody else knows about it. It wasn't in the paper that I know of. It's just all going underneath the radar.
Okay, now, why don't you stay with us and let's say, can you stay with us a few minutes?
I can for a few more minutes.
Okay, let's take Paul real quickly and see what he has to say.
Yeah, hi, down here in soon-to-be soggy Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
And what really concerns me down here is the flooding that is potentially going to take place.
Yes.
The weathermen down here have 20 different creative ways of telling you that they don't know where this thing is going to go. But I strongly suspect it's going to come across the West Coast. And I'll tell you, if anybody wants to depopulate this already overpopulated area, this is the perfect way to do it. Because I can just imagine, out, especially in the western part of Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County, the drainage out there probably isn't very good, and it's really not going to take much to flood down there. But you know, we're getting ready down here, and we've got a pretty good heads up on it. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but probably Monday, if I still got phone service down here, I'll probably give you a call and give you a boots-on-the-ground account of what's actually going on down here.
Okay, I appreciate that, Paul. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you now. So Operation Information is one of our partner sites on our website, listeners, AmericanExpose.com, Operation Information. And Kate, you sent it around the educational system.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they had Booker T. Washington, which is on paper considered a U.N. model school with a U.N. club for students where they learn to debate all the environmental issues, where they it's playtime is what it is. They are pretending to be the, let's say, the U.N. Security Council or an actual U.N. meeting where each of the students take a country that is a member nation and they debate for that country. As I was told by one of the past presidents of this UN Association of Eastern Oklahoma, she stated it so in order to teach them about diplomacy on the global scale. They are also planning a trip with these students to the UN this summer. But I noticed that Booker T. Washington not only accepts students from their own school, but they're actually bringing students from all over the Tulsa area down from junior high up to be a part of the program. All of the schools, the colleges here in town also have programs similar. Rogers State University is bringing 18 new students to the table. So I see this as a growing problem in Oklahoma, and most people, again, are just not aware of it.
Well, with your help and others, maybe we can make more Oklahomans aware of the big system in place.
Well, for most, and I know you living in Oklahoma as well.
Yeah.
The thing that I notice the most is people are against any intrusion from the UN, but they see that as a problem with California, or they see that a problem with New York, but they don't see that as a problem here at home because they don't hear about it.
Well, listen, Kate, for those that are being acclimated to this, The Global Neighborhood is a great book. And yes, it comes from the UN system. And then Joan Vion wrote the United Nations Global Straitjacket in 99. Those two books, anyone that's not acclimated to the computer will be tuned in to what's being driven right now. And this is why I quote from some of these books on occasion, because it's very relevant as this is going on. But this Julian Sorensen, or anyone from the UN Association of Eastern Oklahoma, if we can find any of these people to come on to talk about this, this would be very, very vital. And I'll bet you none of them will come on.
Probably not. I doubt that they would. Again, when the questions became tough, they closed it down. There was no more discussion. And I'm sure because they didn't want to allow the 22 students from area high schools and colleges, they didn't want them to be able to hear truly good questions that might cause them to use a little bit of critical thinking.
There it is. And there's the problem. Well, Kate, I appreciate your call.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking it.
Thank you. Sad commentary for our country listeners. OperationInformation.com does not come up for me on the website right now. So what else is new? We'll try and rectify that problem as we can and make it available to you as well. We'll be wrapping up the broadcast momentarily. Pay attention to the sponsors. Very important to support the network and its directions, listeners. Otherwise, you won't have it. We'll be back to continue. Stay here. Okay, listeners, as we wrap up the broadcast today, I have an announcement from Bob. And this is vital because we're running out of time. And stay with me now. On Sunday, October 23rd, Braveheart Radio 88.3 FM will hold their annual anti-United Nations rally in the Diamond Park Square across from the courthouse in Meadville, Pennsylvania. And that area, zip code is 16335. They will start setting up about 10 a.m. and begin about 1 p.m. There will be the burning of the United Nations flag. There will be speakers. One speaker will be Hagen Smith. He is the gubernatorial candidate for the Constitution Party for 2006, and this man will change the direction of the state of Pennsylvania. And they will be headed to the right direction with the elimination of all property taxes, IC. If you're interested, listeners, you're welcome to call Bob at 814-337-5585. That's 814-337-5585. And he's a volunteer with the broadcasters at Braveheart Radio. So you can call Bob at 814-337-5585 to know more about this situation in Pennsylvania and Braveheart. And we'll try and give that announcement tomorrow as well. Ann, welcome to the broadcast, Ann.
Hi, Chris.
Yes.
I gave Paul Joan Vian's number.
I have it.
Oh, yeah, you could call her, and she'd probably come on your show.
I will call her. I called her, you know, maybe about 3 weeks ago, never got a return call from her. So.
Yeah, because she does do, you know, interviews.
I'm more than welcome to have her on all the time, and she just doesn't seem to be available. So I will try again.
Trying.
I will try again.
You know, I think Agenda 21 stands for 2021. You know, they want it in place by 2021.
Okay.
That's just what I think. But anyway, but you know what it is? It's the spirit of Satan working through the brain or the octopus. You know, you think of the octopus being Agenda 21, and the tentacles are all of the NGOs, you know, micromanaged by the administrators and enforced by the goons, you know.
Yes.
And facilitating planet Earth.
Amen.
Bringing it in. But Yahweh, praise his name, will destroy, and this is in Revelation, those who are destroying the Earth.
I appreciate that, Ann.
Yeah. And Yahweh bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we'll try and get Joan again. And I tried to get her, and she didn't return my call, so I didn't. I don't know. I'll do it again. Entries for the website, new entries, and I keep galvanizing myself to number 47 of the research section, Federal Prison Industries, The Sad Story of in America by Rose Lear. Very vital website, listeners. And then you have the United Nations Statistics Division, number 48. The United Nations Association of the National Capital Area, 49. United Nations Association of Canada, number 50. Number 51, the United Nations Capital Development Fund. Number 51, the United Nations Capital Development Fund, I'm sorry. Number 52, the United Nations Environment Program. Number 53, UN Electoral Assistance. Ouch. 54, the Lynx Incorporated. 55, the Peace Encyclopedia, United Nations. Is this not amazing, listeners? Is this just not incredible amount of information that you cannot believe when you go to this website, AmericanExpose.com? Dennis does a superlative job. He's a menace to the UN system, listeners. Good afternoon. Do your research. It's all here on AmericanExpose.com. America spelled with a K. Thank you.